Hey guys, let's face it, you're probably listening to this show and all of your other favorite shows on your phone. Are you tired of filling up your phone's memory with all of your favorite podcasts? Well, you stream your movies, you stream your music, why not stream your podcasts? Try Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is an app that allows you to stream over 5,000 shows, including this one and many, many more, right to your smartphone or pad. Download it for free at Stitcher.com or find it in your app store. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host, Johnny Maldi.
Well, we talked. All right. Hello. I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a fantastic show for you today. I have the return of the band Loen. Sarah and Chris stopped by. They just released an EP called Royal Jelly. They're doing a residency at the Black Heart here in Austin on Rainy Street. In June, they're doing Saturdays at Midnight, and they're big shows with lots of bands. But their new album, EP, Royal Jelly, is available on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, and you can find out all about the band on Facebook and Twitter. That's Loen, L-O-W-I-N, and the O has an umlaut. Great conversation, as always. I love Sarah, and Chris is a fantastic guy. It was great to meet him and get to know him, and I love the band. Great band. Get out and see them if you can, or if you are in a different city or country or state of mind. Pick up their album, Royal Jelly, on the internet, okay? So check it out. Before we get to this conversation, I have a couple of things to tell you. This weekend, I went out and saw AJ Vallejo's Whiskey Rebellion video shoot. On Friday night during the Rot Rally, there was tons of motorcycles downtown. Look, I'm going to go out on a limb right now, and all these guys can kick my ass easily. I was in a room filled with a couple hundred of these motorcycle guys. They were lining the streets like two rows of motorcycles in front of each other, leaving just a little space down the middle of 6th Street with guys just riding their motorcycles. And these fucking things are so loud. Oh my God, it was just a motorcycle city. The whole city was overrun by motorcycles. I got nothing against you guys, but when you're all together and you're doing a thing, it's very noisy. And when you're not taking part of a motorcycle thing, It's terrorizing to hear this stuff. So anyway, I got to go see AJ and his video shoot. That was great. Zuri and I had a great time. But you know, we ran over to the Vulcan Gas Company because our friend Lauren was putting on a show with her group, the Solstice Group. And so I went in there and I got to see one of my favorite bands, this band here in town called Tapes. I suggest you see them. They will be on the show on Friday. Check it out. It's great. Anyway, so I got to talking to Lauren Bruno, and she was telling me, hey, man, we're putting on this festival, the Solstice Festival. And it's Saturday, this coming Saturday, June 20th at Pan Am Park, noon to 10 p.m. You can find out all about it at solsticeatx.com. Has a lot of great people playing. Ringo Death Star, Seeley, Golden Dawn Orchestra, Jazz Mills, Dead Love Club, and many, many more. Listen, this thing's taking place, and it's a free show. You'll hear them when they tell me it's free in the interview. I freak out. I can't believe it. This is a free festival. You can go out there and see all these bands on this Saturday, June 20th at the Pan Am Park. Okay, so I invited Matt and Lauren and Adrian over to sit down and talk to me for a couple of minutes and fill me in about the festival, fill you guys in about the festival. And turns out I'm going to go out there and do some podcasts during the festival. So here it is, my conversation, a quick one, with Matt, Lauren, and Adrian from Solstice Festival. All right. I'm here with Matt, Lauren, and Adrian from the Solstice Festival. And you guys, this Solstice Festival comes out of Solstice Live, which is a greater entity. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Correct.
You want to talk about that, Matt?
Yeah, so Solstice Live is a network of opportunities and artists that we started here in Austin. And it's, I guess, in the form of a website. So the way it works is if you're an artist, you can sign up and create a basic profile listing all your social media links and essentially anything that a venue or a festival or a promoter would need to know about you. And if you're a festival organizer and if you book shows at a venue or if you're a promoter, you can sign up as well and say who you're trying to book, where you're booking, what style of music you're looking for. And we use this platform to book shows throughout the year, and venues around Austin use this platform as well. And Solstice Festival is essentially like our centralized celebration. Like, hey, let's get everyone that's involved in this platform and have them come out for the day and celebrate.
Right, because you have a couple of nights. You even had Saturday night was a show leading up to it, and then Thursday and Friday lead up to the main event, which is June 20th at Pan Am Park, noon to 10 p.m. Featuring Ringo, Death Star, Roger Sellers, Zeely, Golden Arm Orchestra, Jazz Mills, Money Chicha, and many, many more. So that is it's a one stage?
It's two stages.
Two stages, okay.
Yeah, the Pan Am Park has a beautiful built-in stage.
Okay.
So we're going to be utilizing that, and we're also bringing in another stage to kind of fit into the park and, you know, just get more folks involved.
Right. And so you're going to have vendors out there. What all is going to be out there at the festival for festival goers? Maybe someone that's listening doesn't know.
So we have 20, we just counted today, 20 art vendors setting up, and they're selling anything from tarot card readings to jewelry and
bathing suits. Hand-dyed.
Yeah, Lauren, you should talk about what they're all what all.
Lauren, what's your role in all of this? Lauren Bruno, one of my favorite people and guests on the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Always. Well, I got involved with Solstice because I actually played the festival last year.
Oh, okay.
One of the venues was Bird's Barbershop, which is really cool.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And that's what ignited my passion for Solstice, is that they're kind of an out-of-the-box thinking company with a really incredible founder. And then I soon learned that they had an incredible developer as well.
Adrian.
Adrian, yeah. He's the one that's literally, like, building it with another guy who's in Wisconsin named Michael... What's his name?
Shooty.
Sorry, I never know how to pronounce his last name. Shooty. So yeah, there's two developers for Solstice Live. Yeah, I am head of artist development and booking, and for the festival, I've helped with both of those things and just kind of coordinating a lot of the vendors and the musicians playing the festival.
Okay.
So yeah, we have jewelry and art and live art and tarot card reading, and basically just like it's all local and handmade, and it's really awesome.
Yeah, and this is the second annual.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first one that you're doing at a park. Yeah. So do you have to order fence?
Oh, you
fencing?
Betcha. Yeah. No. Yep. We're bringing in the fence. We're bringing in the bar.
That's the glamorous part of this whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's really interesting. Leading up to the event, there was all these like, okay, so my partner throws Pecan Street Festival.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got a lot of experience.
How many years is that? That's like 153 years, maybe?
Something like that.
At least 154.
At least 35 years, right?
35 years. He's on a decade of organizing it. So he got, you know, his company got paid to, or whatever. He gets hired to produce the event, and he's done it for about 10 years now. So
he's done a great job. I always have a good time.
Yeah, it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's easy to see that he knows what he's doing, and it's funny that there's this saying like, you know, don't get caught in the weeds or whatever, and inevitably when you're creating something, you're caught in the weeds, but everyone that's around me kind of looking in is like, oh, you guys are going to be fine. Like, Luis is the guy who organized Pecan Street. He's on your team. Like, he definitely knows what he's doing. And that's like, you know, that's reassuring.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, leading up to this, Luis wrote down all of his contacts. Like, here's who we're going to hire for security. Here's who we're going to hire for fencing, bringing in the dumpsters, porta potties. And it's just kind of this abstract like thing. Okay. Like, oh, great. These guys are just going to show up. But now that it's coming up to the event, we're meeting with these people every day and working out every single detail. And, you know, it's not anything crazy over the top challenging. It's more like just the little simple details that have added up, you know, that are, you know, making this really interesting. But it's a lot of fun at the end of the day. And you just work really hard and look back and you're like, hey, I'm in a better position than we were yesterday. And tomorrow
that's great.
I'm going to wake up and do the same.
What was that saying that he told you? The 40 without
words. Oh, yeah. Luis has lots of wisdom, and he says that 40% of booking a great event or throwing a good event is actually like booking it and
getting the vendors. You did a great job booking it too.
Well, that was mostly Lauren and you know, the team collaborating.
It's one of my favorite. A couple of my favorite. Dead Love Club.
One
of my favorite.
Alex, yeah.
Weirdest band in the world.
Yeah.
If you know them, it's just weird.
I hope they wear leather.
I'm pretty sure they will. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be June 20th. Oh, I will. Oh, yeah, I'll be there. I'm coming in from Corpus. So I'm playing Corpus Friday night, and I'll be there on Saturday. Yeah. Let me ask you a quick question. So if people go to solsticeatx.com, they can find out all the ticket prices. Is there ticket prices?
No, it's totally free.
It's totally free?
Yeah.
Oh, we should have said that at the top. It's totally free. Okay, so they can go there. They can find out parking, the parking situation.
Yep, absolutely.
Is there anything that you recommend?
Specifically about the event?
About parking, because that's a jacked up scene when, you know, downtown. It gets a little freaky.
Yeah, so we've highlighted 11 lots in the area that you can use. And
all,
you
know, on Solstice. Okay,
and it's all on there on Solstice ATX. Yeah. So people can go there and find out the easiest way to get in, what time the certain bands are playing.
Yep.
And it starts at noon.
Yeah, and I have to mention this.
Do this.
And we can't forget this tomorrow. So Matt commissioned an art installation with a Tom Bandage, and built a 16-foot steel pyramid in honor of the Sun and Solstice Festival.
That's nice.
And so, yeah, so it was just installed at the park, and we're doing a meditation that's guided by Energies Balance, which is a local yoga and meditation organization. And so at 12 p.m., we're all going to gather around the pyramid and do a meditation and opening ceremony for the festival. And everyone's invited.
That's awesome.
So,
yeah, everyone's invited. Get there. I won't be there in time because I am, as I said, coming from Corpus. But I will go down there, and I'll wear shorts. It's going to be a beautiful day, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like the weekend's going to be nice weather.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
All right. So is there anything you want to talk about the Thursday and Friday night shows leading up to the thing? Because that's coming up in the next couple of days. People can go to how many clubs are having shows?
I believe we have 14 parties around the city.
And so they can also find out the list of all the bands playing at these clubs at solsticeatx.com.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And honestly, the list is really good and almost too good to pick one in specific. But I know on Friday at 12 o'clock, I'll be at Swan Dive. Wonder Bitch is dropping their album. They're a really great local band and one of my absolute favorites. And they've been working incredibly.
I should get them on
the show. Yeah, you really should. Absolutely. Yeah. They've been working incredibly hard on the album release, and they are just, like, so good. And we made that show kind of in honor of their album release, so that's going to be incredible. They're playing the outside stage, which is shared with the Barbara Laporte, so it's going to be a nice crowd there.
Awesome. Well, hey, congratulations on this. It's awesome that you're creating a free festival, which a lot of these things, you got to get a wristband, go to a place, do a thing, just show up. There's going to be food. There's going to be art, jewelry, and an incredible lineup of music. The main event of the Solstice Festival, Saturday, June 20th at Pan Am Park, noon to 10 p.m., featuring Ringo Death Star, Zeely Golden Arm Orchestra, Dead Love Club, Jazz Mills, and many more. Many more. Money Chicha. I'm a big fan of those guys.
Psychedelic Cumbia.
Psychedelic Cumbia. Yeah. That's right. That's what you need. Anything I'm missing here?
It's all local.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all Austin artists, all Austin vendors, all Austin jewelers and artisans.
Yes, artisans.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that the right word to use?
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll see you guys on Saturday.
See you there.
All right.
See you there.
Bye.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, go check it out, solsticeatx.com. That stuff starts on Thursday night and Friday night in 14 clubs around town, culminating in a main event on Saturday, June 20th at Pan Am Park, noon to 10 p.m., all right? A lot of great music. These guys are all promoting local music, and of course, the festival is free, so there's no excuse not to go there. Of course? Of course. All right, let's talk to Chris and Sarah from the band Lowen. Their new EP, Royal Jelly, is out now. You can find it on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, and all the great places. Find out about them on Facebook, Twitter, and, of course, Instagram. They are playing Saturdays in June at the Black Heart in Austin, Texas. They go on at midnight. If you live in Austin, man, this is a chance for you to get out and see some great shows. Great shows this whole weekend. Solstice Festival, Lowen at the Black Heart. It's all going down. All right, let's talk to Sarah and Chris, all right? Let's get down.
forgotten.
And he's still doing
Otis the Destroyer.
Yeah, they're playing that. Their show tonight sold out. They're opening for Black Pistol Fire.
Wow, where?
Parrish.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
It'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm happy for those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Do you guys do shows together?
Yeah, they played our EP release at Cheer Up Charlie's, and we played their tour kickoff. Like, it's very much... Like, the guitar player, Anthony, in that band... And Chris,
yeah, we're
go
best
way
friends
back.
From back home in New Jersey.
Oh, you're from Jersey? Where in Jersey?
Brick, right on the shore.
Up near?
Point Pleasant, Toms River area. It's like central New Jersey, all the way east. Like right
I know
on
Asbury
beach.
Park.
Oh, okay, like 20 minutes north of that.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
I hit up Stone Pony, The Saint, like all those
Yeah,
venues.
The Saint, I played a lot there.
Oh, right
yeah,
on, man.
Scott, the guy that owns it, is a good buddy.
My first show ever was at that bar to
really?
Like five people. And it was a show, it was a show that got canceled the day of the show, but they forgot to call our band and tell us. So we showed up with like four of our friends.
And so they felt sorry for
and,
you and
yeah,
you
we
play?
Start loading in. There's like, you know, like one dude there and we're like, we're supposed to go on at 1:30. And they're like, there's no show today. It got canceled. And they're like, well, nobody called and told us. So they let us play our set for like 20 minutes.
That's wild.
To like the bartender and three of our friends.
That's
and then
nice,
we left.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. The only downside, well, I guess the biggest downside to it was Anthony left a crate.
Anthony was in the band?
Yeah. Anthony left a crate of like guitar pedals and like percussion accessories just sitting on the sidewalk, and we drove away and, you know, guitar cables and all kinds
it's gonna
of
be
stuff.
Some,
were
that's
in
a
there.
Pretty, that's a, I don't, I mean, I don't, I'm trying to think of when the last time I was there. It's kind of shady around there.
Yeah, not anymore. My
not
sister
anymore?
Lives
okay,
in Asbury
good.
Park. She just moved back there from Brooklyn, and she's like, this place is pristine. Families all over the boardwalks now. It's done like a complete 180.
I have
from
a couple
like
buddies that live
ago.
There that are always like, you know, for years, for like 15 years, they've been like, don't worry, man, this place is going to come around. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's insanely beautiful there now, apparently. They've completely rebuilt the waterfront. Anthony was just home a couple weeks ago and went to a show at the Stone Pony, and he said it looks like a completely different town from last time he was there like 5 years ago.
That's
so,
good because it was scary.
It was a scary. I mean, we used to go there. You know,
that
we
picture's
were like,
in that theater there. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
that's on the
guy?
Boardwalk.
Convention Hall.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's there.
Yeah, man. I mean, we would go. You know, we'd go to punk shows. You know, this is like 10, 15 years ago now, and. You know, at that time, we didn't really understand, like, the atmosphere of Asbury Park. We were just kids going to see punk rock shows. And, you know,
did you get mugged or something?
It wasn't until years later where, like, I went there in my, like, early 20s.
A little more
and
cautious.
I was like, holy crap, man. Yeah. We used to just, like, you know, it'd be, like, 2 in the morning and we'd just be wandering around the streets and... Now I think about that,
like
and
fools.
I'm like, how did we not get, like, stabbed or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, do you guys tour?
We're getting ready to try to tour more. Transportation is our problem at the
place.
Moment. But we did a show in Edinburgh, Texas.
That was fun.
And that was actually a lot of fun. But we're trying to get out, start to do the spiral, you know, work our way out. I just talked to one of the bands we're playing with this Saturday. It's called Bantam Foxes. They're this great three-piece from New Orleans. And
I've just checked them out, their music.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you if you would hook me up with them and see if they would do a show while they're here.
Yeah, for sure.
Podcast.
They should be driving up. They're all really nice dudes. And they hit us up yesterday, which I haven't even told Chris about this, but they have a residency in New Orleans in August, and they want us to do like a little 3-day run with them and do like New Orleans, Houston, come back to Austin.
Oh,
now
man.
Are you booking? That's great. Are you booking? Are you booking these cheer up? Not
the
cheer
residencies.
The residencies that block.
No, Amara from the Sour Notes.
Okay,
she books. She's the bass player for the Sour Notes. Okay. She plays drums too. Her and Jared, they have their little business called No Play Music, which is what they book a lot of shows through No Play Music.
Oh, really?
But I think Amara right now is the only one that really books at the Blackheart, and she did a great job. She pretty much put together the whole month, like a couple months ago, and I, you know, we agreed to the residency, and then I pretty much didn't have to do anything. She got the poster done, lined up a ton of the
bands. But you're meeting these bands, and now you're forming these relationships, and you can start this touring thing, which is awesome. That's how it works.
Well, and there's also, I mean, like, this weekend, there's kind of concurrent events going on within our residency. Like, this Saturday, I think it's Town Hall Devils tour kickoff, and then at the end of the month, it's the Midget Men's EP release. So there's some, like, events going on where, you know, it's our residency, but there's also, like, shows going on. So we're, you know, supporting other people that are, you know, trying to get on the road and all that kind of stuff. But, I'm excited. Blackheart's always treated us really well, and it's probably the only bar on Rainy Street that I'll actually go to, so.
Isn't that an interesting thing? Like, this whole place has developed, and it's attracted such a...
interesting crowd.
But when you walk into the Blackheart, it's like this little sanctuary of like people you're gonna know.
Right.
Yeah.
Not people that might have beaten you up in high school.
Right. Well, and I think,
get that vibe there, don't you?
No,
lots of wife beaters and cargo shorts.
Lots of collared shirts.
Yeah,
But, you know, and it's weird,
women
though,
in sequins and sparkly dresses.
Velvet paintings.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah, they...
Does anybody wear jeans anymore?
I think that they've definitely prided themselves on being that bar.
Yeah, they
Rainy.
Seem like a different animal than every place on that street.
I think it pays off for them.
Yeah,
oh,
definitely.
It totally does.
Definitely.
And, you know, the other thing about the Blackheart that is unique to as a music venue is the built-in crowd. I mean, there are, you know, maybe Blackheart and then maybe ABGB are the only two venues that I've played in Austin where, you know, like, we've promoted it and we've gotten our friends out, but, you
there
know,
really
we play for a ton of people that have never
have
heard
no
of
idea.
Us.
Yeah.
They're there because they just were at a bar.
ABGB's a great place.
ABGB's, you know, we play on a Friday night at ABGB. You're like, you know, that place is packed.
Yeah.
And they're not even there to see the band, but that place is packed.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's great. And you get a good response from that.
Is Paul still the guy booking there? Paul Miner?
Paul, yeah. Paul, and then we've done it through Mark Jensen. He's, I think he might be the general manager also.
Oh, yeah, you played.
We opened for the Blue Bonnet.
You played with my band.
Yeah. They're cool.
I love them.
Yeah, they're super awesome.
I really do refer to them as my band. I mean, was Christina drumming that night?
Blonde?
Yeah.
So, like, the bass player and Kathy and Christina I have a band with them called Johnny and the Laser.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Right on.
Yeah.
But I think I remember seeing that.
I love them. Did you like them?
Oh, yeah. I've seen them before.
Show. Yeah.
And it's funny. I started teaching at School of Rock a couple months ago. And in the ladies' room, there's a framed Go-Go's record that Kathy had signed. And, like, I mean, it's kind of weird because I'm in there using the bathroom. But I'm, like, sitting there, like, looking at the record and leading up to the show, I was like, oh, my God, that's so cool. But, you know, I was always definitely a big Go-Go's fan.
As a girl?
As a girl musician, for sure. And then... But I mean, even Eve Muncie's, you know, I mean, she's such idol in the Austin music community and stuff. And just watching those ladies just rip, you know.
I like to watch. It's giving me goosebumps. I just went to go see them at the Paramount a couple of weeks ago. And watching them play guitar together is awesome.
They're good.
It's awesome. Talented. Yeah,
they're super good.
Yeah, they have neat feel.
Yeah.
They really have, like, whatever the feel is from here. Uh-huh. They have it. Like, there's, like, this weird groove in their playing.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Well, and I hear a lot of the, you know, a lot of the blues stuff with Eve Muncie's, and I hear a lot of the, like, really great rhythm stuff, but then also just, you know, like, shredding kind of stuff come from Kathy, too.
Yeah,
and I think,
like,
they're a great yin and yang as a guitar couple, you know?
Yeah.
They really, I think they really, not compatible. They really complement one another.
Yeah.
So.
And, like, Kathy, you played bass in The Couch, am I right?
No, I played guitar and keys and vocals. Yeah.
What band did you play bass in?
I didn't play bass. I play bass.
I made that up.
With 6-year-olds sometimes, but not in front of anybody that's important.
So you've always been rocking the guitar. You're great guitar.
Well, I'm keys. Yeah, the I started keys. Off. I mean, I've studied piano for the longest time,
right.
And then I got into. I took a guitar when I was in high school, but I didn't really get it. Until probably, like, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And when I started playing with The Couch and writing with Taylor a lot, I learned a lot from him on guitar, actually. And then when I decided to form Low End, too, it kind of forced me to become a better guitar player because I was assuming this lead role again. And, and when I first started, I was like, I don't even want a keyboard in front of me.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want that crutch to be able, you know, have to go back to. I wanted to be able to really like own being identifying as a guitar player in the band. So
yeah, I saw you guys at the Mohawk.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Was it a long time ago?
We haven't played the Mohawk in...
Oh, man.
You might have seen us with our original guitar player, too. Yeah, Adam. But
okay, so you got a different guitar player. When did you record Royal Jelly?
We recorded Royal Jelly in, like, so we started recording it, I guess, September of 2014.
Was it?
Maybe early. Yeah.
October?
Maybe it was October.
Okay.
And
somewhere toward the end of, like, the year.
Yeah, it was... We had it all mastered by January.
Where did you record it?
With at Fifth Street Studios with Nick Joswick. It's the same studio and engineer that the Couch record I was on. We recorded with him, and then Nick is
That's
also my roommate.
That's that place that had the Texas flag. Is that mm-hmm.
yeah, the wall? Yeah.
Huh, those guys are nice. I produced a couple of records there.
Yeah, right, I love their live room, and I'm very comfortable around Nick. We've been friends for a long time. Mm-hmm. He's really easy to work with. He's very open-minded. He takes, you know, like, I'll have, like, a wacky, like, there's a song on the record where I was like, I've always wanted to do this thing where, like, I talk really fast and you distort it and you put it in the background. And I was kind of, like, describing it to him. And it's something that was done on a Foo Fighters track. And I totally stole the idea. But when I was explaining it to him, I could tell he was like, this sounds, like, really stupid. But, like, he didn't say it to me. He was like, no, go in there and do it. And then as soon as I did it, he was like, oh, I totally get it now. And, like, it ended up on the record, you know?
So dumb.
It's that kind of, like, I like people that are open-minded and want to do the Phil Spector aspect. You know, like, I'm going to fill this with sand and beat it and see what it sounds like when I put distortion on it. And Nick's really good with that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah.
Very open-minded.
So yeah. Do you produce these records?
I guess they're like self-produced. It's definitely
a band, a collective, everyone that's there.
Yeah.
That's my everybody favorite style of production is if everyone there is at least smart, you don't have like some fucking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like some guy who just
doesn't even
dumb
get it.
Stuff.
No, we're all pretty on board with, you know, how we want things to sound. We all have like a general idea that's kind of on the same level.
Yeah.
Obviously, each one of us can focus a little bit more on our specific instruments, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
We kind of used, I mean, like most bands, but I really rely heavily on Chris and Nate, my bass player. They both have, like, very, very, Nate especially has a very specific style of bass, or how he plays bass and how he writes lines and stuff like that. And Chris has a really distinctive drum sound and, I like to be able to start with them, and then I feel like I can just really pile stuff up on top of that.
Yeah.
When
you went in to do this EP, were you going for something?
Because
it has a vibe.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was a premeditated, but sometimes you go in with an idea, you come out with something completely different.
I mean, I think the only thing that we kind of went in as far as ideas for the sound was we wanted to try, I guess, to keep it a little more... like lo-fi, maybe?
Yeah.
Not like super overproduced and compressed and maybe more of like almost like a garage rock sound, I would say. But
it has that for sure. It has some grit to it.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the why?
I think, I guess personally, I wanted it to stand apart from some of the other stuff that I've recorded and in my span as a songwriter. It's definitely the... ballsiest, I guess, music that I've written in a long time. But, you know, I've always really had a fascination with really loud guitars. I just don't think that I knew as a musician how to kind of merge that sound with my own songwriting. Because,
you grow up and
you identify as a songwriter and people, you know, just like drill into you, you know, Dylan and like all the Joni Mitchell, especially as a female, that
lots
they're like
and...
they want you to listen to Carole King and stuff, and I love all that stuff, but you know I still
you love Heart too.
I love Heart and I love the Smashing Pumpkins, and I identified with Jeff Buckley on his loud stuff. You know, I like his version of Hallelujah, but like I'd much rather listen to him do, you know, Mojo Pin and like all of his like heavier stuff from that record.
No offense, it's no offense against that version of Hallelujah, but it's not his fault.
No,
it's like the Jesus thing. It's like you have no problem with Jesus. Yeah. It's all the people that just walk around. Like, Jesus is weirder, and it's like it's like half of like you could There was a point for like 10 years that you could guarantee you could look at a guy doing a solo show and you knew that was coming?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and it's like one of those, like, it's the same thing with Ryan Adams' version of Wonderwall. Oh, like, people don't cover the song, they cover somebody's cover of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it drives me crazy. Like, I'd really hate it. But anyways, so I guess this time around I really wanted to, I was, like, very dead set on getting the sound that I wanted of merging this, like, loud, you know, guitar. I was angry at music in a lot of ways going into this record and really frustrated.
Why?
With, I think just, not, I was.
I have body odor issues. She's in a confined space with me. She gets very angry.
I mean, I think it was part of, like, all right, I'm starting a band again. And there was a lot of freedom and excitement with that. And it's also terrifying because you go through the motions so many times, you restart a band and you start over, you try something different, you know? And so a lot of the songs that I wrote had, lyrically, a lot of the songs that I wrote, like, it sounds like I'm talking to somebody that I'm really irritated with, but it's actually a lot of internal conversations I was having myself at the time of, like, do I really want, am I really up for this again? You know, but then also being mad at myself for being like, I don't know if I want to do it again, you know?
Did you, like, play these songs for Taylor and, like, he would come in the room and be like, Sarah, I was listening to your songs.
what was with the one line, go to hell, Taylor, I hope you die? I was
just wondering. No, he gets it. We're very much a part of each other's process, songwriting process. And I think, you know, I think he went through a lot of the same stuff with Otis, too, where we were both kind of like, you know, the couch had got, you know, achieved this certain level of success. And, you know, we, for lack of a better word, kind of ruined it just by starting to date, you know, which, you know, I think that in hindsight, even if we hadn't started dating, it wouldn't have worked out long term because we both are such, like, very
different.
Well, and the couch record that I was on, we ended up with two records within a record, you know, because my songs sound like my songs.
Yeah, they're both very focused.
His songs sound like his songs.
You can definitely tell the difference between the two on that record without a doubt.
Yeah, but
just,
so... You know,
it's just songwriting style.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess that would be the overall kind of attitude going into this record was just trying to merge both the loud guitars and then, like, my songwriting background. And, you know, I don't think... Some of my favorite songwriters aren't people that play acoustic guitar and sing.
Name some.
Oh, God. Now you're going to put me on the spot. Well, I mean, Jeff Buckley, for one. Yep. I mean, I love St. Vincent.
I never heard him play acoustic guitar. Even when he played by himself, he was on that electric guitar.
Yeah, but I guess, like, more of his, like, the heavier stuff on Grace. I mean, I love My Sweetheart the Drunk. Like, Vancouver is one of my favorite songs. And
he even covered, like, Kick Out the Jams. And
Yeah.
That's cool about him.
I mean, we've covered, Dream Brother once.
You know what I really want to do that again. About your voice, Sarah, that I was noticing is that you can sing with an incredible range, but there is always a fullness and richness to your voice that makes it unique to other female singers. Mm-hmm. There's not a thinness to it.
Thank you.
It's almost like you have a very thick chord. You know what I mean?
It's weird because I don't think I identified as a vocalist really until maybe, like, you know, 3 years ago.
Are you a great singer?
Yeah.
Thank you. And I think it's also that it's the same thing, kind of thing. It goes back to, you know, I had kind of like an alto voice in high school, and you get kind of, people are like, oh, you sound like this. You should, you know, try to emulate this or try to do this. And so I never really identified myself as a rock singer because, like, I didn't think that I had that range or power. And it kind of took...
It's interesting because you don't have, an Ann Wilson kind of thing.
No.
But you have that power in your voice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's definitely... I mean, it's really evident on, like, specifically in Royal Jelly. You know, towards the end of that song, you can really hear that power come through. And I mean, it's still to this day, when I hear you hit that last note before we hit, I still get goosebumps to this day. Even thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Just one of those things, though, that, like, you know, when you make an album and then you listen back and you hear something like that and it makes you react like that as someone in the band, it's pretty rewarding experience knowing that,
yeah,
you know, I'm
great
in a band with that
with
person.
That person. Yeah,
she
yeah,
asked
yeah,
me to
yeah,
play with
yeah.
her, so yeah, it's pretty rad.
But she probably feels the same way about you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, you know, she lets me know that all the time, and I really appreciate that. You know,
it's a good thing about a band if you can be nice to each other. It's like a relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can just be nice to each other.
Well, I think the thing that made it easier for us, too, was that, you know, we kind of knew each other somewhat. We met each other friend through friend kind of thing. So we knew each other a little bit before. You know, we had hung out plenty of times before I actually ended up joining the band. But, you know, when I got that phone call from her back in October of 2013, it was a no-brainer.
Yeah,
when she asked, because, you know, it was one of those things where, like, you didn't realize how badly you wanted to work with that
someone.
Person
yeah, yeah,
until,
yeah.
like, the idea was, like, presented to you. And then, like, from that point on, it's just been, it's been fantastic. Like, you know, despite all the ups and downs and whatever.
Right.
That might sound cliche, whatever, man.
Yeah, we've definitely, Chris and I have worked, I think, we kind of started just the two of us jamming before we brought
still
anybody
have those
else.
Demos.
I do, yeah, we do. But Chris and I also have, like, it's like musical tennis. Like, I can.
Volley.
We can talk about, you know, Smashing Pumpkins, Queens of the Stone Age, Eagles, death metal.
But then we also have, like, bands that, like, are completely out of each other's realms as well, which is pretty cool. Like, Trent Reznor is, like, a god to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, like, as far as songwriters go, like, that's who I, you know, definitely, like.
He listens to a lot more math rock than I listen to.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
man.
It's got
a
loop
pedal
in it.
I know it's, like,
that.
A long time ago now, but what is math rock exactly?
Oh, man.
Pavement?
No.
Because that's where they say it's
Don,
from.
Don Caballero. Oh, I mean, like, I guess they might have been. I mean,
I don't
you
know
could,
who these people are that are telling
Don
me
Don Caballero is probably, like, the classic math rock band. They're a band, a three-piece out of Pittsburgh, all instrumental. I mean, math rock is, you know, lots of guitars on loop pedals in lots of odd time signatures.
Yeah, right. Okay.
That's,
I don't care.
The best I can describe it. Yeah.
And do you know... Do you know who Mike Portnoy is?
Yeah.
You
want
to hear something funny?
You can't go to Berkeley and...
Listen to this.
I was very much into Dream Theater
My drummer
up.
For Mr. Rocket Baby, I did not know this because we had reunited after 20 years of being broken up this past December, and we were hanging out and, like, having some drinks, and I was like, who... Because I was like, you went to Berkeley. Who was in your thing? He was like, well, there was this guy, Mike Portnoy, and I was like, oh, did you know?
That's so funny.
Did you know him? And he goes... He was my fucking roommate all 4 years.
Oh, wow.
Like, they still hang out all the time.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
My
yeah,
friend
was,
Doug is like, he has like 500 bands.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, unfortunately.
I mean, he does a lot of
he
stuff.
He got, he left Dream Theater a couple years ago. I was, you know, when I was.
You got to understand, as being like a Beatle guy and like a 3-minute song guy,
see,
like a harmony's like,
yeah.
Like, whenever I hear Dream Theater, like, I hate to sound like an asshole, but I just start laughing.
No,
and
yeah,
like,
no, dude, it's a total.
Trying to tell me?
It's a like, total wank fest. And, like, looking back, when you know, that's music when I was 16, and all I wanted to do was have my drum set like Neil Peart's, and I wanted to learn every Rush song, every Dream Theater song. And, you know, there was a point in time where I moved away out of my dad's house and, you know, where I had my huge drum set and I didn't have a kit for like 2 years. And then when I got a new one, it was your standard, you know, one rack tom, one floor tom, you know, big Bonham bass
cymbals.
Drum.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was my roots, you know, John Bonham. You know, that was my drum teacher when I first started learning how to play drums.
John
like
Bonham
everything,
was your drum
everything was Led Zeppelin in my ears. That's all I wanted to know how to play. Was
that's
how
good,
to play.
Man, because that
Moby Dick. The first time I heard that song was like, I will know every single note. I will memorize that drum solo. I never did, but you know, I certainly tried.
I mean, how old are you?
32.
You got time to learn.
Oh yeah.
It.
Oh, definitely. I got
if you
know.
Want to.
Yeah.
I have my friends did a Led Zeppelin band concert last summer.
Man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they worked really hard. It was really good.
Yeah? That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really good.
One of the funniest things about working at School of Rock is, because that's all the repertoire we teach is all, you know.
The classics.
Classics,
AC/DC,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
AC/DC.
And
seeing
any kids
like,
in that come in and go like, hey, man, I want to learn Oasis. But not that Ryan Adams version.
No. No, I mean, they did an Unplugged show this year, and they did, you know, Andrew Bird. They did, and it was great. They did, I'm trying to think who else. Oh, not Sophie and Stevens, Bright Eyes. You know, they did some more kind of obscure.
Folky indie stuff.
I like Bright Eyes a lot. That's yeah, Sophie and Stevens. No. I don't know, man. I like one album of his, but
those two State albums I listen to, and it brings with it like this weird, you know, middle school kind of nostalgia from playing in like concert band, you know, a bunch of like 14-year-olds getting together and playing like a lot of woodwind instruments. But for some reason, with those two albums that he did, it comes across so beautiful.
It does.
Yeah. It's
then,
really crazy.
And then you're like, that's a weird name. And
Soft J, what is that about? He's always got that little baseball hat on.
So, where is this record available? It's available on the SoundCloud.
Yeah,
and Spotify.
Spotify.
You can stream it on Spotify. And
iTunes.
Physical copies. It's Amazon, Google Play, iTunes, all of that. But we have copies in End of an Ear, Studium.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We will be putting some in Waterloo, hopefully. Okay. At least a couple, but and then we always have CDs at our shows. You know, obviously that's where we'll have them most readily available.
Once,
I guess
when we remember to bring.
When
them.
We remember, I only forgot them one time.
I'm glad that you're on Spotify. Do you have anything against?
No.
Do you guys have any kind of like? Well, because they're robbing
I mean, it's
us blind
kind of when you see the numbers. When you see the numbers, obviously it's a little bit disconcerting.
Right, but,
they're
not numbers like that we have.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We don't have like 18 million plays of
right.
Yeah, exactly.
Of
you know,
Wanted
we're
Dead
like
or Alive
really
by Bon
pumped
because
we're this close to getting 1,000 likes on Facebook, and we're like, oh my god, when that happens, it's gonna be amazing. You know?
Yeah. No, I think. I mean, I'm just happy. For
that's one of those things that I really don't think necessarily even comes to mind when we talk about doing that kind of stuff. You know,
well, no, of course
it's
not.
The furthest. You know, we've talked about it plenty of times, not just as a band, but with you know, like family and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, we're not doing this to like, you know, like
right,
sell
but,
you know, like triple platinum albums.
Right. No,
but
it would be
fun.
Nice
oh,
to make
course.
A living at what you do.
You know, one of the guys I was working with the other day was joking around about how like when are we going on tour with the Black Keys? And you know, as much as that band, I might be annoyed with what they've turned into recently. Like, I'm not going to ever turn that something like that down. Like,
no way.
Stupid. Like, if Taylor Swift came knocking at my door, I'd be like, girl,
you know
you're
what's
the greatest.
Cool.
We will open up
you. Know
for
what's
you.
Cool, I think, now, because I'm older than you guys, and I came up at a time where there was this, like, kind of ridiculous, always, like, these lines drawn in the sand. Like, wait a minute, your shoes are made by so-and-so, so I won't be, I won't even listen to your jams.
The word poser got thrown around
all this kind
a lot
of shit
more.
And like, and you can't make any money at what you do, or you're a jerk.
Yeah,
and I'm glad that it's a different time now because it's a little bit more accepted. Like, I mean, nobody thinks twice about the Flaming Lips doing songs with Miley Cyrus now,
right?
And that's one of the things I feel like needs to start happening again because when you look back at like. And I mean, it's, you know, I just happened to watch the Woodstock movie a couple days ago I had like a day off.
Yeah.
And it's funny watching that because when you're watching these, you know, performances on stage, you know, like there's a bassist, he's playing with Joe Cocker, but he's also playing with Jimi Hendrix and he's also playing with, you know, Canned Heat and, you know. I don't remember the guy's name, but like you see there's like there was such a collaborative like effort between musicians.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted to play with everybody. And then I think what ended up happening as time went on and like the 90s started happening and you know like the you know the digital era came about, like it seemed like that just kind of disappeared, you know, but now it looks like it's almost starting to come back, especially like with what you just said, the Flaming Lips and Miley Cyrus thing. You would never expect something like that to happen.
Well, even with Jack White, I mean, look how many projects he's been a part of.
Which is great, you know, like the fact that you know, we need more. I feel like we need more music like that. We need more artists that are willing to collaborate with
each
other.
And
I mean, look at Paul McCartney and
like
Kanye West. Like, talk about like the weirdest matchup you could possibly imagine. But you know, they did it. Whatever, that's cool.
It might not be. I wish I could have been there, just hanging out.
Yeah, fly on the wall in there. I love the interview that Paul McCartney gave after that, saying that working with Kanye West was a lot like working with John Lennon. And I was like,
I know that there's some people like, that think you guys aren't high on his talent.
I'm high on his talent. I think he's a talented dude.
I think he's
kind of a jackass.
I do too.
Like, close your mouth and just let your music do what it should. You know.
I do too, but like
there's a certain
black skinhead. Like, there's not. I mean, for a guy that likes, you know, there's definitely some Trent Reznor influence on that track.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's like the most exciting song I've heard in a long time.
Yeah. I'm a huge hip-hop fan. I listen to a lot of hip-hop, you know, old school, new school stuff, like whatever. But there's something about his, in my, you know, and this is just me, you know, like, again, like, I do not, you know, try to, you know, talk down about Kanye West, because I think he is a very talented dude, but his ego, for me, takes away from that talent.
Yeah.
You know, and that's an unfortunate thing. I wish I could look past that, but I kind of can't. But at the same time, his ego almost is selling so much more records for him than just his music.
Do you know what the UCB theater is?
Upright. Yeah.
Those guys... one of those guys, like Matt Besser or something, was on a podcast that I was listening to, and they were like, tell us about when Kanye, like, rented out you guys for a week because he wanted to learn improv comedy.
No shit. Really?
It's like the most hilarious story you've ever seen. You got to kind of give it to the guy for trying to...
But that sounds like something he would do. Yeah. That's not surprising.
But he was like, I'm going to go and, like, make me funny.
I want to rent these five people and make me funny.
Right. Yeah. And, like, you, like, relax. And they just, yeah, it was just, he couldn't do it.
For a guy, he can't even smile on camera, you know? Like, how do you expect anybody to be able to make you funny?
Yeah. I think for me also, like, I really hate saying it because I try to be, like, very, you know, on every woman's team, but... marrying Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, that's what just, like, that fuck, totally, dude. Like, as a fan of his.
And then making
like,
that video.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like every time I don't know, whatever.
What if it turns out, and this is the last thing we'll say, like in 3 years he pops up, he's like, it was all like this great joke, and he can point out where he was making fun of society.
He
turned out to be like the most amazing performance artist of all time.
Because
he played the world.
That would be very Andy Kaufman, or, you know, jokes on you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably be
you guys are
brought
getting so
to tears
mad.
With surprise if that happened. He would certainly launch himself into a completely, you know, another echelon of artistry, that's for sure.
Off the Kanye subject, because we could talk about that all day, but
we don't want to.
Talk to me about the scene.
The scene in Austin?
The scene you're in. What's going on? What are the places? Who are the bands? How are you feeling about it? Is there support between the bands and groups?
I think that there is support for sure.
Absolutely.
I think that I'm starting to... I think anybody that initially moves to Austin to play music kind of comes in with rose-colored glasses. You know, like they... It's hailed as this, you know, live music
Mecca,
capital.
Yeah. But it's overwhelming.
Overwhelming. I think that I look at it a lot more practical now. You know, I think that, you know, to really make it outside of just being an Austin band, you have to be extremely strategic. It's very easy to play too often in Austin.
Yes.
Because there are so many venues, and it's, you know, you don't want to be that band that's known as turning down stuff, but you also don't want to be the band that's playing like 20 times a month.
Right. And where I think it's cool, I think you guys are cool in this. It's the same way that I've always, not always, but in my adult life handled residencies. It's like, hey, this is going to be a thing for a month or two.
Yeah.
And we're going to get this little thing going.
Yeah.
There's going to be other people involved, not just,
you
know, you and your thing. There's what, like six bands per show?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I've
also three outside, like three eight. Inside.
Yeah, that's great. I've seen a lot of bands too that that I think that is a really smart move, and it's something that I want us to do, is going and doing residencies in New York and LA.
Yeah.
He just did one in LA.
Did he really? Oh, okay.
Holiday Mountains done one out there. There's been at least a handful of bands that I've seen in the last year that have really made that happen, and I think that addresses probably the number one problem in the Austin music scene, is that there is no industry, and going and playing a residency
I'm glad that you point there.
Ballroom, where there could very well be somebody from a record company there, because people that work at record companies live in New York.
Yeah.
And the same in LA. And you know, and working with national booking agencies and finding a manager. I mean, even I think like there's this band Purple from Beaumont, Texas, that you know has been blowing up. They've been touring Europe.
Oh yeah,
They just played this last week.
I reached
week.
Out to these guys.
Yeah, and they're super fun. And you know, their home base was Beaumont, and they linked up with this manager who I think is out of LA. I can't remember what the name is, but you know, I mean, it's made them tour Europe like a couple of times, and they've done really well. And you know, you still have to find that somebody that's tapped in.
Yeah,
and you know, there are a few people, you know, like Jim Eno that live in Austin.
Do you know him?
I've met him because I sang on Walker's record, and Walker's doing his record with Jim Eno, and I've been to his studio.
Shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, and he's like this most approachable, super nice. I mean, Tim Palmer lives here. Tim Palmer's produced like some amazing records.
Yeah,
so those guys
worked with him.
Those
Taylor.
No, our buddy Austin actually was working with
Otis
him.
Otis is working with him.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
they're going to be.
They're working with him right now.
Oh, good, good.
But
weren't they working with Frenchie too, Otis? Did they
I don't
work
think
with
so.
Frenchie?
Mm-mm.
Okay. That was Leo.
I'd like to work with
Frenchie.
Frenchie
was there though that night.
At
No, Frenchie's girlfriend was there when I saw them at Cheer Up Charlie's.
Oh, okay, cool.
I don't know.
Some point.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Anyway.
Yeah, you know, I think that, like, for me, you know, I'm always kind of looking, I'm not necessarily looking outside of Austin, but I'm...
No, but you have, I mean, you want to do this.
But I want to do it, and I want somebody that's going to, you know, I mean, as much fun as it is being the booking agent, general kitten wrangler, songwriter, manager, making sure, you know,
publicist,
people,
social media. You have a publicist.
We worked with a PR company for our EP campaign, and I have a love-hate relationship with publicity. But that's another thing that, you know, you're kind of expected to kind of forward all this money because it's with the idea of, like, this is going to put you on the map.
Yeah.
You know? And
but it's very much like a...
Oh, it's a racket.
Who knows?
It's a racket.
You know?
I have a thing about that because in whatever the old times,
yeah,
and it didn't work this way with publicists, but you didn't really use publicists at our level like you do now.
Yeah.
Because what you had was you had a manager, and maybe that manager got 15% or whatever you made.
Yeah.
And then also the booking agent got like 15 or 20% or whatever you made at the gigs. And then,
but it was based on,
and it was based on what you made,
right?
Yeah.
And this publicist thing can be a racket. And I've noticed this the most from having this show now for 4 years, because I deal with them. I've seen people. There's been one band that I emailed afterwards, and I was like, "This person is not
should
your,
not represent you.
You should not
really?
Be giving this person money because, and you know,
yeah.
I'm sorry."
I'm not trying to be a jerk, but...
But this person does not have your best interest in mind.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know...
Then you're getting the money.
Yeah.
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 Sorry, they didn't write about you in any of the magazines, but I got you on this guy's podcast.
Right, yeah. Right. And that's like the biggest problem that I have. I mean, with our PR company, I had some really good experiences with them, and I will say that they were very transparent with us about who they've reached out to, who picked up, who decided not to, and why, and that was very helpful. You know, but for the most part, you know, you're expected to pay all this money, and really, it doesn't guarantee you anything.
Yeah.
Like you said, you know, I mean, I think a lot of the, you know, press stuff that we got locally, we got because I personally reached out to them, and I know writers, and I'm friends with... You know, people that work for publications or work on the radio and all that stuff. So even when you have all these people working, you know, even if I did have all these people working with us, like say we had a manager and we were on some PR company's roster,
it'd still be,
you know, you still have to be very proactive.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And that none of those people want to work with anyone that's just going to sit back and be, "What'd you do for me today, Steve?"
Yeah,
you know, for sure. But yeah, I think, you know, I'd love to see, like, more people that are willing to, like, work for the band.
Yeah.
And I think that...
Well, there's a few in town. I mean, there's some that I've seen that really are great. And,
yeah.
But really, I have seen a couple, and it is a racket. Let me ask you this about if you were to go to New York for a residency, which I think is brilliant, and I've had some friends do that. Did you see Wild Adriatic while they were here? This
name sounds
rock
familiar.
And roll band?
Yeah.
They moved down here for like 6 weeks and did that. They had a residency at the engine room. No.
Oh, Empire Control.
Empire
room.
Control.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Love that venue.
Doing the same thing as you every Saturday, but in different stages, opening for different people or whatever.
Right.
When you go there, what would that entail for you guys? You'd have to save up some money.
Absolutely.
New York is, and L.A. Uh-huh. are not the world known as cheap places to live.
No, they are not.
I think you, for... I think for...
You got friends, couch it.
Yeah, we'd have to couch it for sure.
I mean, I'm from up in that area, so I mean, if as far as New York goes, we would be able to find... someone to stay with, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We know so many people up there.
Right.
You know, I mean we both moved here from Boston a couple of years ago, so we know a lot of people that live up there, Mike, and I don't know if we want to stay with those guys.
No, Mike, if you're listening, they do want to stay with you. You're a nice guy and a very clean
apartment.
Dirty
punk rock warehouse.
I had a friend that moved back to New York from Europe, and he had like a month to kill, and he got a job at Olive Garden and then just worked there just to make cash.
So no problem.
And then left. And then, like, you know, because who cares? It's Olive Garden. But,
I just lost my main sponsor.
No more lifetime supply of breadsticks for you.
Yeah. I mean, I think getting a good guarantee, having some connections with local bands that are going to draw and,
But at the same
all that
time,
kind of stuff, but
it's New York. You would expect that every place in New York is going to have a crowd almost, you know?
Right. No, like I think that, you know, if a residency was something we really wanted to do, it would be a matter of saving money and, you know, trying to line up as many
gigs
before we leave, you know, or even touring on the way up there and then touring on the way back. You know, just making sure that we're not spending all of our money on drinks afterwards and smart, business
frugal.
Sense. Frugal.
Well, you have a good, now I feel like I've watched you go from the couch into Loewen.
Yeah.
And now you're firmly implanted in Loewen.
Yeah.
I've seen you grow.
Yeah.
I've been through the relationship with you and Taylor.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a part of your life.
I do. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that weird? Because when I saw that you were, I didn't even know anything about it. And I saw a thing and your release was last weekend. And I was like, they never even asked to be on the show and they have a new album. That's why I'm like, hey, you going to come on the show, Mom?
Oh, I figured I'd already been on twice. I didn't know if you're sick of hearing me talk. So.
Never. No, I really like you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. I like you too.
And I like you now, Chris.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, the first time that Taylor and I were on the show, we had just started dating, but we weren't telling anybody. And
see,
it was
look
funny
at that.
Because Fleetwood Mac came up and like and like you kind of did the whole, so is like that like an issue in this band?
Yeah.
And we were like, no, definitely not. Nope, not at all. But
and then you like got to the corner of my thing and started making out or something.
Yeah. Like, no, we actually left and Taylor was like, we need to not bring up Fleetwood Mac in any interview from here on out. And I was like, all right, deal. So yeah.
Fleetwood Mac.
I have something to say. Sarah, you and I have a lot of songs with our names in them.
It's very true.
What's your favorite Sarah song?
Well, I'm coincidentally named after the Fleetwood Mac one.
Right, that's right.
But I guess that would probably be my favorite because the other ones are like, what, Hall & Oates?
That's a great one, though.
Sarah Smile, yeah. There's a...
That
Sarah.
One.
That's the
that
one.
That one is
that's
like...
That's the bomb.
That's the worst.
That's the one. That's the one. That's the only song about Sarah's that should exist.
What are the other ones? Other ones?
I'm trying to think.
I thought there was more. I wrote it down for some reason.
Those three.
I had that idea today.
I don't know.
Being a great conversation piece.
There's no songs about me.
Chris? No.
I mean, there might be a lot of songs about Christ, but it's part of
what's your middle name?
Arthur.
Well, no.
There's the fucking, the guy from here who's kind of weird. I met him and I didn't like him.
Oh.
I've got his guitar pick up there. What's his name?
His name's Arthur?
No, he wrote the song Arthur, and he sings it.
Oh, I don't
Arthur,
know.
It does as it pleases. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't think I know that one.
Well, then, so what's your favorite song with Johnny in it?
Is it Johnny Kick a Hole in the Sky?
That's a good one.
It's a pretty good one.
I think my favorite is Johnny Too Bad Jimmy Cliff.
Oh, very nice.
I think so, because it's cool.
I watched this video today of John Lennon and Chuck Berry doing Johnny Be Good.
Ah, but that yes. was good.
But there's
I hate
also
that one.
Yeah, Yoko Ono.
There's the Memphis, Memphis, Tennessee. Oh my God! And it is. I was
love it, man.
I was looking up old clips of the Beatles, and I had seen that one before, and I forgot about it. But if you have not seen the Memphis, Tennessee clip, and Bill Burr does this great really overdub,
oh man, he's
yeah, and his whole thing is talking
on his podcast or something.
It was his podcast, show. And his whole thing was how John Lennon. Was the most whipped man in rock and roll.
Totally.
Because he's up there with his idol, Chuck Berry, and he lets his wife, Yoko Ono, sit on the side and play drums. And she's playing the drum like this or whatever on the 2 and 4.
Completely
yeah.
off time.
And then occasionally picks the drum mic up and just goes, ah! And then yeah. puts it back and then starts hitting the drum. And Chuck Berry's face is the
yeah,
most
dude, at
priceless
one point,
thing.
He gives this look over like
I'm going to murder you.
What the
you.
Hell are you doing yeah. letting this bitch on stage, man? What
yeah.
are you fucking crazy?
But that's just remind you talking about Johnny songs.
Yeah, Johnny.
But
B.
the
Gale.
Song that she does it on is Memphis, Tennessee. But
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So yeah. you ever feel like Taylor's a Yoko?
No. Well,
I'm sorry,
when
Taylor.
We
Yoko.
No, when I was in the couch, I was actually doing roller derby for fun, like recreationally.
Really?
Yeah, and my name was Loco Ono, like my skate
yeah,
name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I thought it was hilarious, and then the couch broke up, and I was like, I don't want to go by that anymore.
I figured yeah. that's
you send a mixed signal.
But
I was in a band with a guy, and he was going out with this girl that was like just like over the top. Like when
yeah.
she'd show up, everyone would be like, "Oh God,
oh, yeah."
Boy.
And a friend of mine said, "Look, it's John and Loco," and that was the first time I ever heard about it.
That's funny. No, Taylor and I, if anything, we're on the same trajectory because we both are. We both
yeah,
care both. More about music than like really anything else.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh yeah, you've like, you know, yeah, yep. take the show. It's my birthday. I don't care. Or yeah, take the show. It's about like, we're kind of just like, yeah, do whatever you need to do for your band. And then, you know,
very laid back.
That's good.
Yeah. We try to be really supportive of one another. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
There was something else. Oh, do either of you guys have a summer jam yet? I realized
summer jam.
Yeah, you know, like a song.
Ooh.
That's your thing. You listen
like
to
like a new song or like
new song.
New song.
I think it's got to be a song that's been released since March or February.
Oh man,
and it's gonna feel good. Last year, mine was a Spanish Gold Out in the Street.
Okay, so I can't listen to that song without singing.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
Cruel Stop Summer.
Feel like
or,
oh, wow.
Oh yeah, somebody's watching me too.
Me.
Yeah,
really.
But that is a great song.
That is a great song.
Yeah, it's super great.
Those guys are good.
Yeah.
I don't even know what's come out in the last
jam?
Like few
Do you
months.
And Taylor have a celebrity couple name?
No, I don't think so.
Like where you blend your names? Like Brangelina or whatever?
Herrera? I don't know how what...
Say Wowzer.
Sailor.
Wowzer.
Oh yeah, Wilkins and Schauser. Wowzer. That'd be cool.
Your last name's Hauser.
Yeah, it's not yeah. Schauser.
I mean, sorry.
But I do like Schauser.
Schauser's my nickname.
Do you know Brad Hauser?
I don't know if I've met him, but ever since I moved here, it's always, oh, are you related to Brad? So I know of him.
You know he's like killer.
Yeah, a great bass player.
The dude.
Is he the guy with the long, he has like a long goatee? No.
Nope.
Okay. Never mind.
He's got glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool looking guy.
Yeah. yeah. There are a number
you know
of Hausers in Texas, but I don't know any of them.
He's the dude on What I Am by Edie Brickell.
What? Really?
Oh, wow.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
But he also plays on Sundays at the 1-to-1 bar. That is kind of an interesting thing about Austin. Before before Ian McLaughlin passed away, you could just go on literally
band,
one
yeah.
day I saw him on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. And he was playing with like Ron Wood and his band was, he was getting his rock and roll thing and he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And then on Thursday, there he is for free, 6 p.m.
Yeah.
That's
playing
ridiculous.
The organ at the thing.
That's funny.
Well,
there's something sad, but also something like real and amazing about what we do like that. Like we're just musicians, really.
Right.
Yeah.
Like we can be celebrated and all this thing, but really that guy's a keyboard player. He plays at a bar. That's how he makes his money.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Right. Well,
I like that.
Like Joe Rez.
Uh-huh.
They play, I can't remember, was it the Swindles, Mitch Webb and the Swindles that he plays with?
Yeah.
They play Agüeros, like, all the time, and, like, I had no idea his, like, musical past.
Like Joe Reyes from San Antonio?
Yeah.
Yeah. Smiley Joe.
Yeah. And, like, it was just really funny. But there's a lot of people like that, too, where that they're, well, even, I remember the first time that I saw the Bluebonnets. I hadn't even heard anything about them, but they played Agüeros for the KDRP or Sun Radio. They do their Wednesday nights.
Yeah, I played with them there.
Yeah, you were there that night. Yeah. I saw you. I was working. I was waitressing.
Okay.
But I was inside. But yeah, I like walked out to the garden to kind of see what was going on because I heard this like loud rock band playing. And I went out there and I saw you and then panned left and I was like, that's Kathy Valentine. And I had no idea that she was in the band because I hadn't heard anything about them at that point. But it's just that it's funny. You know, I was like, I just felt like I was, yeah.
Yeah.
There's like, it's like a, it's like solidarity in like a really weird way, you know, where it's like, oh my God, you guys are, we're all just doing the same thing. You know, like we're all just working.
She might have been in the Go-Go's and Saturday Night Live and been on the cover of Rolling Stone, but she's the chick that plays guitar in the Blue Bonnets.
We just opened up for them at ABGB. Yeah. That's crazy.
That's who we all are. We're all just part, and she's the girl that plays guitar in my band.
Right.
Like,
we're just rockers.
It's cool. Like when you went to school, did you think, I mean, because we all start with the dream, you know, like, I'm like limousines.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I think, you know, I remember thinking in high school.
Do girls ever think of dudes? Like, I'm going to get all the dudes with
I can't wait to just.
Yeah, because like a dude's
every city,
man,
a different guy.
Every chick's going to want me because I'm like, you're like, every dude's going to want a piece of this action.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's different for
it is.
I mean, female musicians. I don't. I have, honestly.
All right. Let me just throw this out. So the dudes will get this. They'll get, oh my God, you're so high, you play the drums. Unfortunately, with female musicians,
girls coming up to them being like, I want to be you.
No, it's, you know, the conversation they get from men isn't as simple as that. It's like, oh, what kind of gear do you use?
Yeah.
Like, oh, is that a Big Muff pedal? Is that a Yamaha keyboard? I use a Kurz wheel with ribbon.
I think that it's, I mean, it's definitely, you know, depends on like what kind of, like how you present yourself. I think even outside of music, I've never been somebody that's like, guys come up to me and like, are like trying to hit on me. I think I give off like kind of an ice queen vibe most of the time. At least that's what people have told me at work.
I don't get that from you.
Oh,
I mean, maybe because you're nice to me when you come.
I'm nice to you, I guess. Yeah. But I mean, after
shows.
When
you first meet her, man, she opens her mouth.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess, I don't know. You know, there was always, like, even at work, like, where I was like, there are girls there that get phone numbers all the time from guys. Like, I'm
no
just not.
No one gives you their number.
No. And I'm not complaining about that at all. You know, but it's just a different. And after shows, I get, you know, I'm more flattered when guys come up and they're like,
You
guys like really rocked.
Yeah.
They're genuinely surprised that we could be this loud rock band with me in the front of it. Which is and I like that
I
I'm
like
changing
that, you're
that
out there. Yes.
Changing
yeah,
that
absolutely.
Concept for them.
Are you friends with Lauren? From Ume?
Yes. Well, I've met her a couple times. We're friends on Facebook and all that stuff. She's super rad.
Great band. Oh, yeah.
Great band. Great
and I'm
stage
glad
presence.
That she's out there like she's a jammer.
It.
Like Kathy
absolutely.
And Eve. Like hey, we just play.
Yeah.
No girl,
absolutely.
Guy, nothing.
Yeah, it doesn't fucking matter.
It's just
a person,
you know,
with a guitar.
Right.
Yeah.
There was some this like little meme going around that on Facebook, and it was like, you know, question from a guy like, "Oh, you're in the band." The girl says yes, and he's like, "Oh, so it's like a girl band?" He's like, "She's like, no, it's just a girl, and I'm a girl in a band." And he's like, "Oh, so you're like the girl in the band?" He's like, "She's like, no, I'm just a musician that's a girl." You know, like it's that
just a person,
you know,
in a band.
It's making it. I think there's actually a huge surge of, you know, even right now, there's a ton of bands that I've noticed that is becoming, it's becoming much more normal for women to be in rock. I mean, there's Speedy Ortiz.
Sweet Spirit.
And Sweet Spirit, locally.
Megafauna.
I think as a vibe.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's definitely a thing that women give off and a thing that men give off. And when they're together on a stage, there's a good feeling to me about it, like, you know, the I was gonna say the bisexual vibe, but you know what I mean, like the everyone's together and it's
and
like, you know.
I think the vibe too, you know, is starting to turn more away from, like, you know, it's sadly enough it took this long, but it's like women can finally actually don't have to just be pop stars,
right?
Which for a long period of time, you know, like Saint Vincent is probably the prime example,
great
of
example.
Like an incredible songwriter,
incredible musician.
Like everything that she makes is just astoundingly good,
yeah.
But like never when I'm listening to her, am I like, oh man, I can't believe a girl made this music.
Right.
Like, that's something that never even crosses my mind.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm probably not like that with everybody, unfortunately.
Mm.
There's some very close-minded people out there, but...
There are. But they're opening up. Are you noticing in the School of Rock a lot of ladies coming in to learn?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. A lot of girls? Sure.
We got lucky enough to to open or play after.
Yeah, we played after them at South By.
Talk about...
They're playing XTC.
They're playing Yes, Long Distance Runaround, and this girl's on bass, and me and Nate, our bassist, are standing there watching them. And his jaw is just like on the floor. I'm like, oh my God, because, you know, I'm a huge prog nerd, and I'm flipping out because they're playing King Crimson, 21st Century Schizoid, man. They're insane at their instruments.
They're like,
and I'm like, I don't even
want to
play. You know, and then we get on stage, and I totally botch the end of our very first song, and I'm like, all right, I feel like a total asshole right now.
I think the thing that I've noticed with the school, too, is that, I mean, it's really cool, not just challenging roles of, like, gender roles with music, but I primarily teach piano there.
Oh.
And challenging people's notion. Like, I had this little girl come in, and I kept calling the keyboard a piano. She's like, I don't play piano. Piano's not a rock and roll instrument. Yeah, I play keyboard.
Oh, girl,
and I was like, we're going to talk about Little Richard, and we're going to talk about, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis. And
yeah.
They played real pianos. We're going to talk about Elton John back in the day, Freddie Mercury. I mean,
Billy Joel.
So I've had a lot of fun kind of also challenging the role of piano in rock music too at the school, but there are a lot of girls at the school, and it's really inspiring and cool to see there is no gender gap, you know, with that age group. They're just all playing together, and
there's no
you're the girl in the band,
right.
No, she's the best bass player in this group of people, she's
right.
gonna be in this band, you know, and I think that's how it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you don't get that girl-boy separation concept until you're, like, you know, older. And that it's just all this society stuff. Girls shouldn't do this or shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I had a long talk with one girl, and she told me, I asked her what her favorite color was, and she said, well, my favorite color is blue, but blue is a boy color, so I always tell people. And I was like,
terrible.
And I was like, well, are you wearing the color blue? And do you like the color blue?
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah. And I was like, then it's your color blue. It's not anybody else's color blue. And, you know, and she was like 7. So, you know, it starts early. What's boys and what's girls.
Well, I mean, you know, when you look at TV, it's fucked up, man. Any kind of media.
Yeah.
You know, just how.
But people are challenging it more.
Definitely.
Which is really cool.
I mean, look at
Bruce Jenner.
Yeah. I was just about to say, right? I mean. You know, he's winning the Arthur Ashe, Hero Award, which is great.
Yeah.
But, you know, as soon as they announce that, all these assholes come out on the internet,
of course, because
that's where they all fucking live, about how, like, he doesn't deserve it. And you're like, you're proving the fact that he does, or she does deserve this award.
Exactly.
You know, by you coming out and being like, you know, just because they get a 6 change, they shouldn't have, you know, like, no. Like, you're proving that this takes some heroism, you know, that it takes some fucking guts to come out and, you know, put yourself out there like that.
Yeah, John Stewart said it best. He's like, now she knows what it's like to be a woman.
Yeah, right?
Like, immediately
right
criticized
like
for
Vanity
the way
Fair
you look.
Cover,
yeah.
and everybody's going to be fucking hammering how you look. Yeah. It's exactly what happened as soon as it happened. It's ridiculous. You're like, he's barely been a woman for like 24 hours. And you're already tearing down what she looks like.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Poor Bruce Jenner, Caitlin.
Caitlin, yeah, that's right.
All right, so your new EP, Royal Jelly, is available. You can find it on the SoundCloud, on the Spotify, on the iTunes, where all digital downloads are available.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
we're on Facebooks.
Facebook, Twitters.
Instagram.
All that social media.
And if you live in Austin, you can find Loewen on Saturdays in June at midnight at the Blackheart. This isn't going to come out till next week, so there's still a couple more.
Yeah. There'll be, I guess, two more.
Two more.
Yeah.
Two more.
For sure.
Good.
And
one of
those two hopefully will be pretty a little special.
Oh, yeah. We've got some covers.
Trying to throw some
covers planned out.
Freak out the crowd a little bit.
Did you guys cover something weird when I saw it? Did you do Call Me?
We did Call Me.
Oh, yeah.
When I saw Blondie.
You. We need to bring that back, man.
We did Call Me. We've covered TV on the Radio. Jeff Buckley covered.
Yeah, Gold Lion.
That was
a fun one to do. We're fooling around with some other stuff right now.
That's
fun. It's something like It's something where I've personally have always wanted to do. There's just that weird, you know, kind of nostalgia element when you're up there performing, you know, a song from a band that you kind of grew up listening to.
Dude, I'm in a cover band that plays 70s and 80s music.
Yeah, dude, I don't know what it is. It's fun, you know, like...
Well, half the time we cover something, it's just that I just wanted to learn how to play it on guitar.
Right.
Yeah,
and it's
like,
all right, well, let's do it live because I already know how to play it.
Yeah.
I realized, it's weird, I realized how much I do that. I mean,
it's a great way to keep your chops up, you know?
It's not intense, but like just with the internet and stuff, like you hear a song, you're like, oh, fuck. Or you think of a song, you're like, I'm going to play it.
Yeah.
And then you just learn it real fast, and then you go.
I mean, it's so easy to do now, especially, you know, if you go back 20 years ago, it was not as easy. It was, you know, oh, let me just hop on YouTube and someone can show me how to fucking play the song.
Yeah.
Or I can watch a live video of that band or whatever playing the song.
Right.
You know, like, you know. Fucking 95 or whatever, you know, you were doing that. You were like, okay, I guess I got to go to the music store and pick up the book and...
Or record the radio.
Dude, listen.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I can't... I mean, we could be all day with this thing, and I've got a lady coming.
Oh, yeah, you're fine.
I'm looking back. Not a late, like...
No, she got a lady.
You got a lady. No, dude, there's another podcast.
Different kind of podcast after this,
Another podcast is
the
coming
The late through. Night podcast.
And I still got to light my incense.
Oh.
I started in my first band in 1982.
Oh, wow.
And that was... You didn't, like... You know Rockin' Robin guitars in Houston?
Yeah.
There was a guy there named Phil Florian.
Oh, wait, that's where Taylor bought his guitar.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's a great place. Still around. I go there all the time. But my mom would drop me off there in the morning on Saturdays and come back and pick me up, like, in the afternoon. And I would, like, I mean, these guys to this day, there's still a couple guys still work there. Like, hey, Johnny. I'm like, hey, man, what's going on? I'm fucking 46 years old. So... I started going there when I was real young, but like seriously when I was 13, but I remember the guy that worked there taught me the guitar part to, You Got Lucky by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Uh-huh. Oh, nice. Yeah.
And then like came over and taught me another song like a couple hours later. Cause he's like, dude, if you play this fucking song, you get over to your fucking neck.
I feel for the people that work in music stores. That's for sure.
Me too. Is there anything that I'm missing that you guys should say? I've enjoyed talking to you. I'm a fan of this. Royal Jelly is a great album.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I'll make sure you get a copy.
Thank you. Physical one.
Yes. Physical.
Never. I haven't listened to it yet, but yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, other than our residency, that's pretty much it. We're gonna hopefully
maybe try to do a full length here.
Yeah, we've been
talking
about going out to Marfa and take some days to.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
We've already started.
We've got two or three
new songs that we wrote in the last couple of months that we're all really
stoked about.
We've
been debuting live every once in a while.
We're gonna have a live EP because they're recording us at the Black Heart. They recorded us this last Saturday, and they're gonna record a couple
put a little. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome!
And
have somebody
mix and master it. And I know that they did that for Sweet Spirit and just released theirs on vinyl. I think they just came in today.
Oh no way!
So,
really?
So it might be on vinyl, but right now it. Looks like we'll probably just
that'd be
do
like
a digital
a dream
release,
come,
but...
like, me being
on vinyl.
It
would be a dream
vinyl.
Dream come true to have somebody else pay for a vinyl
release.
Yeah,
right?
That would be the key.
Yeah, it was really fun. The last show we played at the Black Heart, this guy came up to the stage after we finished, and he like grabbed our set list and like put it in his pocket to like take home with him.
Yeah.
And I like lost my shit, man.
Yeah,
I thought it was the
awesome,
coolest
right?
fucking
yeah,
thing
yeah.
in the world.
That was really
I was
cool.
so giddy. Yeah, yeah. I was just like, dude, that guy took our set list. It's so awesome.
It's awesome because we're all fans too, so we know what that feels
yeah,
like.
Yeah, man.
Right.
Like,
and
I've done
that
with bands.
Feeling towards you, you're like,
yeah.
what the
yeah.
fuck? Are you kidding me? That's like, awesome.
I remember when I was on the couch, there was one moment we were playing out in San Marcos. And we were playing one of the songs I wrote called Kaiser, and I looked out, and there was a girl standing like 4 feet in front of me,
singing
every word.
Yeah.
And I
That's
was like,
crazy.
I almost started crying like
yeah,
halfway
yeah,
the
yeah.
song. I was like, Gah!
Yeah, man.
yeah, yeah, that's amazing.
It's such a cool
People
feeling.
People singing your lyrics back to you. That's some weird. That's
yeah.
crazy stuff.
A
dude.
Show.
Even if it is only a crowd of like, you know, 10 people, whatever.
10 or 10,000. It's all the
it doesn't
same
matter,
dude.
Man.
Yeah.
It's someone you that isn't in your like immediate group that actually is taking the time.
Someone you've never seen before
mom.
Knows your
yeah,
words.
That, not yeah, your mom. Exactly. My mom's like, I know all the words. I'm like, I know, you're like, all
great,
the words.
Thanks.
I'm an only child. You should know all the words.
Better know all the words.
Does your mom put, like post on your face like you put up a song and like one person
both
likes
of our,
the song
our
or
moms,
whatever,
man.
And then my aunt will write like, you are the best with words and lyrics.
Yeah,
you get like that.
So embarrassing.
Yeah, my mom is. I mean, she's the reason I started writing songs. She was always, both
very
my parents
supportive.
Have always been a big in music, but my mom used to write a lot and play guitar, and she would, anytime we were in the car and I knew all the words to a song on the radio, she would be like, all right, what does that mean? And like, is this the verse or the chorus? Like, what kind of rhyme scheme was it? I mean, she started me with lyric
teaching
writing.
Teaching you at a young age. That's
really
awesome.
Young. And she loves that I still write and play music, and she's just extreme. Both my parents are very supportive, so.
Yeah.
But they blow up my Facebook for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's
for
good.
Sure.
Yeah, my mom's definitely the same way. My dad is very not computer savvy, but my mom, you know, we had those storms a couple weeks ago, and she's sending her, Sarah, messages on Facebook like, I can't get in touch with my son. Is everything okay? And I'm like, yo, mom, 32 years old, you know, like I'm not... 18 and, you know, away at college for the first time in my life, you know, like, you know, I'm at work right now. So yeah, I can't answer my phone. I apologize.
You'll always be there, baby.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Not a bad thing.
No.
All right, man. Well, everyone in Austin, get out to the Black Heart Saturdays in June. You can get there early. Great bands are playing there, but you guys go on at midnight. And Royal Jelly, the EP, is available on all digital mediums.
Yeah.
And soon in Waterloo and currently in
Endymion and Studium.
Okay. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Lowen, their new EP, Royal Jelly, is out now. You can find them every Saturday in Austin in June at midnight at the Black Heart over there on Rainy Street. What a great conversation it was to have Chris and Sarah. Sarah's like third or fourth time on the show. I don't even know. Great having her on. Also, don't forget you can pick up their EP on iTunes. You can find it on SoundCloud and Spotify as well. Don't forget you can also follow them on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. While you're on Facebook, you can also like our page, How Did I Get Here? Don't forget to like it. You'll find photos of upcoming shows. You'll get updates on the show. Photos and updates from bands that have been on the show. I usually repost cool stuff that they're doing. If they're going on a tour, I'll post stuff about that. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to the show. I want to thank Lauren, Matt, and Adrian from Solstice Fest. Don't forget, go to solsticeatx.com to find out all about that. June 20th, 2015, noon to 10 p.m. at Pan Am Park right here in Austin, Texas. You can go to Solstice Fest, all right? All right, let's hear some more music from Lowen from their EP, Royal Jelly. Hi, Zuri. All right, let's get down.